Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas,
just like the ones I used to know.
Look at the local bar by us.
What does that say?
Little snow slots here. Little snowman.
That's
what the holidays are all about.
That's exactly just old, very sad people playing video slots on the holidays.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
And there's a super cute snowman, and I love snowmen.
Yeah. You love snowmen?
I love snowmen.
Well, you're not going to get any snowmen this year, man.
Well, I mean, not before Christmas.
No.
But, I mean, in the coming monstrous winter, there will probably be.
There's not, man. It's going to be a long, mild winter, and it's going to be a super hot summer.
Yeah.
It's going to be so hot. It's going to be like laying on your couch, like, I can't move. It's too damn hot. Or, I'm not getting out of this house. Are you kidding me? I'll melt.
I'll die.
A horrible, horrible, fiery death.
What's worse? Death or burning to death? Not fire. Like
heat stroke?
Like heat stroke.
Well, I've had heat stroke before, and heat stroke is not fun in the least.
Well, neither is fun.
Yeah, But I mean, at least I've been told that, like, when you freeze to death, it's more like you accept it. Like, you're like, all right, I'm just going to go to sleep and I'm going to die. But like heat stroke, I was, I do a lot of gardening at my house, and I was building my garden one day, and I tried to get it done before noon, before it got too dang hot. And at like around 11 o'clock, I was just like losing my breath and like starting to like panic. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so I went inside and I got in like a cold shower to like cool down. And I was explaining this to my wife, and she goes, you idiot, you got heat stroke. I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't fun at all. I got like really panicky.
Well done.
Yeah. So you want to get it out of the way?
You want it out of the way.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Hang on. Wait. You already messed it up. I think you mean, dan, 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 you know, Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. And then dun, 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 yeah, all Star Wars,
which is actually kind of funny because my one big criticism of the movie is the soundtrack wasn't fantastic. It was mediocre at best.
The opinions of people I read the synopsis, and the opinions of people I trust are that the action is great, but the plot is fucking all over the place.
Yeah, a little bit. It's really like I'll give a non spoilery review because Kevin and I are gonna do a. We hope to do like a kind of a supplement to Comic Book Logic where we just talk about the movie. We're not going to do like our whole format. And it's like we're going to give like a 30-45 minute just
era format.
Yeah. But my non-spoilery review is it is everything you want Star Wars to be.
No, because that would be, you know, entertaining and good.
Oh, it's entertaining and good.
And not have anything to do with the prequels, which ruined the entire franchise.
It has nothing to do with the prequels, which is amazing.
Not yet,
of course.
Here's the dramatic turn.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you could still look like. I will tell you, you know, as I'm just like you, I hated the prequel so much that it destroyed Star Wars for me. Just destroyed.
I own not a single piece of Star Wars anything.
Yeah, I mean, well, I still had all my old toys from the 80s.
I've got nothing. But anyway, it's all gone.
I kept them for my kids. But the
dumped it.
Yeah.
We have that dinosaur thing.
Oh, that's right. I have my Dubik.
You have a Dubik?
I have a Dubik.
A Dubik.
No Stormtrooper, just the Dubik.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast, how the prequels were just so unbelievably awful.
It's currently being written by Jake from Adventure Time. Yeah. He's driving the Dubik.
How everything was just terrible. It made no sense. It ruined Star Wars. This movie utterly restored my faith in the franchise. That's this movie. Now, there could be subsequent movies which are terrible, but this movie in particular was unbelievably
also
good.
You were a day one viewer.
No.
So,
I saw it again last night.
You got to give it 90 days to set in.
Well,
because there was many, many glowing reviews of Phantom Menace because of the mass denial that movie had.
This is... No, because I went in with incredibly low expectations and was like, all right, if anything in this movie sucks, I am going to outright tear it apart. There was nothing in the movie that sucked. I went on day one, went at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. It was fine. We went to a Brew and View. So I had a couple drinks in me. So I was like, I was ready. I was raring. It's my, all the people in the Stormtrooper outfits were out front and all that. The 501st, or as I like to call them, the 501st.
Oh, snap.
That's my Steve pun for you.
That was good.
They were out there and they were, doing all this stuff. And my buddy who's in the 501st, he was there in his civvies, as he likes to call them. And it was literally the worst thing that could possibly happen to him, because I absolutely hate the 501st. I hate everything about them. I think that they're like the worst humanity because
they really love Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, my biggest problem is that they pretend like the reason why they're doing this is for some good, like they're helping people out or something like that. No, the main reason why you're doing this is because you want to dress up as a stormtrooper. Just admit that all you want to do is dress up like a stormtrooper and I'll be okay with it. Just embrace what it is. Don't try and sugarcoat it with this nonsense. But anyway, he goes up to my this
stormtrooper.
This biker scout guy goes up to my friend and he's like, oh, hey, Chris, hanging out with the normies today, I see. And me and my other friend were just like looking at each other like, this is the worst possible thing that could have happened to Chris, because we are never, ever, ever in our lives ever going to forget this. And he was Chris was mortified beyond belief. Good. And afterwards, we're like, who's your friend, Chris? And he goes, he's my commanding officer.
That is awesome. Also, what kind of bitch do you have to be to take orders from a scout trooper?
Well, wow. He himself wears the scout trooper armor. We call them the Emperor's B-Team.
Yeah, that's awful. Like, yeah. Why would you choose to be a scout trooper?
I know, of all things. At least be like a normal stormtrooper.
Right. Yeah. Sturmtrooppen.
Sturmtrooppen.
I'd want to be a dark trooper.
Yeah. Oh, like from Dark Forces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking gigantic armor and the missile launchers. Yeah.
Yeah. We all know you'd be a Gamorrean guard.
Dude, no, we're talking about stormtroopers.
Yeah, I think the Gamorrean Guard are allowed in the 501st.
Well, they aren't.
I don't know.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, there's the 501st.
Gamorrean Guards work for Jabba.
There's the 501st, which
I am not a criminal.
Which is just all of the Empire. And then there's the Rebel Legion, which I think is a little more loose.
You could be the diaper ass baby thing. The baby ass face that gets his arm cut off by Obi-Wan.
Oh, Panda Baba, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you. Well, I'd want to be the Rancor Keeper. Just walk around in like this big old belly hanging out with like this like diaper on, just like just walk around like that. That's what I'd do. I'd embrace it. But no, so I actually went into the movie looking to pick it apart. There wasn't much in terms of that I would say was shitty. The plot moved super fast. But in the second viewing, yesterday I went with Pat of Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, aka Play On. He texts me at it was like 4 o'clock. He's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, well, I'm going over to the friend's house to, we're gonna play some games. And he's like, oh, because I wanted to go see Star Wars tonight. And I'm like, well, what time? He goes, oh, it's gonna be late, like a 10 o'clock, 10:30 show. I'm like, all right, I'll go with you. So I went and saw it again last night, and on the second viewing it was even better. Because I was able to actually focus on stuff and like really pick apart what I wanted to.
How did you feel about the reveal that Kylo Ren is actually Jabba the Hutt?
It worked. I don't know how they did it. but no, all of...
And was the Han Solo blowing Chewbacca scene as tender as I've heard?
It's funny that you say that, because there's a whole big thing online right now about how fake spoilers are just spoilers in and of them themselves. I'm like...
Wait, what?
Fake spoilers are spoilers in and of themselves.
Hang on. Is it a spoiler because the fact that I said there's a tender Han Solo blowing Chewie scene, because they know that's a fake spoiler, it spoiled the film because they know that Han Solo doesn't blow Chewie.
Exactly. This is an actual...
That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Actual debate online. Like a lot of
people. But if I control people with fake spoilers, I will be more than happy to do so.
Exactly. Like there's, like people who say
also that totally wasn't fake. There is a tender Han Solo blowing Chewbacca scene.
It's true. I always wondered how Chewbacca's genitals worked.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. Knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, and it's indescribable. You have to see it.
Yeah. All the characters were great.
Did they mention Life Day?
No, they did not mention Life Day. Too much. And Lumpy. Chewbacca's son was not in it as well.
Oh my god, how kind of Lumpy.
No.
He's got to be a big part of the rebellion by now. He's probably an adult.
Exactly. No B. Arthur as well, because she's dead.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate for the
world. Who was the owner? Was it it was Art Carney in there. It's Ed Norton from The Honeymooners.
The most bizarre thing about the holiday special is the fact that there's like 5 straight minutes of just Wookiees making Wookiee noises at each other.
There really is.
It's so fucking weird.
Nuts. But Carrie Fisher looks incredibly hot and coked out in that.
She probably is.
Well, yeah. All the characters were very well developed. They were interesting, at least. Not, I shouldn't say well developed, but they were enough that I always look at the red letter media test for a movie like that. Can you describe a character without using their profession or what they're wearing? And if you could do that, if you could come up with a good description of that character without a description of what they're wearing or their profession, you know, how they look, then they have interesting characters, at least. There's something
to
them.
So the opposite of Boba Fett.
Yes. So, like, for example,
Boba Fett is a bounty hunter who looks cool.
Exactly. But, I mean, like, you could describe Han Solo as this smarmy, kind of cocksure, sexy...
His name is Decker, okay?
Yeah. He's a good friend. He's got, like, you could describe all these things, but then you go, like, describe Queen Amidala.
She's got fucking a million billion costumes.
Well, that's what actually, she's wearing.
But that's not actually Queen Amidala because it's Keira Knightley. So, yeah. Technically.
Well, they switch off and you could tell who's, yeah, if you pay attention.
Are you an angel?
What's he say?
I still, my favorite thing about that, about Jake Lloyd being in the, in Phantom Menace is that I watch Jingle All the Way every Christmas when we're doing
gifts.
Yeah,
he's in that.
And he was in it before Phantom Menace. So I can only imagine that Lucas was sitting in the theater watching Jingle All the Way, and he just sees Jake Lloyd just going like, Turbo Man says, always keep your promises if you want to keep your friends. And at that moment, George Lucas just go like, that's my Darth Vader. And he's like, we got to get this kid.
No, you got to. That's my Darth Vader. That's the kid I want to have, Darth Vader.
And they got to just get him.
Yeah.
He's got people like combing around looking for Jake Lloyd.
Yeah. And I know one of your big worries was the wink, wink, nudge, nudge moments, like winks at the camera. There are virtually none. There are allusions to things in previous movies, but they're handled so well that unless you actively look for them, you're not going to see them. So, well, like, for example, there's a kind of cantina scene in this movie, but it's done so differently and it's done so...
Is Figger and Dan in the modal nodes there?
No, they're not.
I rest my case.
Yes. But that's what I'm saying.
I judge this film guilty.
Like, it would be bad if, like, they walked into this place and all of a sudden you're hearing...
Well, no, there should be a new song, but it would still be Figger and Dan in the modal notes.
Yeah, exactly. Or Sly Soodle Band. Even though they all got killed on Jabba's Sail Barge. So.
Pretty sure, like, Luke and Han and Leia, Lando, they killed a whole bunch of just innocent people.
Well, I don't know if they're innocent. They're hanging out with Jabba, so they're probably bad people.
They're paid employees. Like, you know,
I don't think Jabba has many paid employees that are at least not...
They're just a band, man.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, they're probably casualties, for sure. Unless they're, like, a really evil band. Like, you don't know.
I doubt they're an evil band.
They could be
child slavery. Have you seen Science Noodles? Like, that thing is the least threatening thing ever. It's just got a long face and stubby little limbs.
Yeah, but you don't know that. He could be, like, really into child porn.
I'm sure there's someone in the extended universe who's got a long backstory for Size Noodles.
Doesn't matter. It's all outside.
It's all
outside canon. No canon anymore. It makes it happy. But yeah, but they go into this.
I don't know. I just can't support the religious terrorism of the rebellion. Yeah.
And it's very... They don't touch on a lot of it. What I like about it is it's... It seems big, but it's actually a pretty small movie. Like, there's no, like, massive fleet battles or anything. That's a spoiler for you. I'm sorry, but there's no massive fleet battles or anything like that.
Star Wars has never really been about fleet battles.
Well, I mean, the end of Jedi is amazing. It's one of the best fleet battles ever in entertainment.
That's dubious. That's a very dubious claim.
I mean, what I can't think of many better ones. I mean... aside from,
I mean, being the best by default is not really.
But I mean,
an
there are others. I can think of a couple. I mean, like remember the Deep Space Nine when they do.
But that's
the,
not a film.
Well, I know I'm talking like just in. And pop entertainment.
Oh, well, then the Deep Space Nine one's way better.
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's really not.
Way better.
No. It's
Jedi is garbage.
No.
Terrible movie.
Jedi actually.
Yub yub, yub yub, jubbity jub jub. The movie's
fucking
bad.
That's not an insult, dude. That's actually, that's fun. I remember that as a kid. It's not really that bad.
It immediately starts by shitting the bed with Boba Fett and Jabba Sail Barge.
No, that's what, like, it's supposed to do. Like,
no,
why would
that's shitting the bed? Because they build up Boba Fett as this insane badass
in
Empire.
But do they really build it up?
They do. They really do. Because they talk about how ridiculous Boba Fett is.
They don't objectively say
that guy's awesome.
Yeah,
but
they,
like,
don't.
But they're like, you know, he smack talks Vader in Empire.
It's true, he does.
Like, you know, Vader's like, no disintegrations. Like Boba Fett seems like a loose cannon. He fucking captures the shit out of Han Solo.
He fucking
flies away in Slave One, which is the coolest fucking ship in Star Wars.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you, it's a cool ship. I don't know if it's the coolest, but
it's up there.
It's
in contention.
It's in contention.
So he fucking leaves like a fucking boss, and like just he fucks everyone's shit up, just like by actually just kind of being around. And he looks awesome, and you're like, he's got a fucking jetpack. Like, that guy's gonna be fucking amazing. And then when he finally gets to throw down, he's the most bullshit bitch character that's ever existed.
Well, no,
he's like,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
My jetpack. So that's the first thing where it shits. Fucking.
But hold on a second. But to counter your point, a lot of people talk back to Darth Vader. A lot of people do it. Leia does it. That one guy on the Death Star does it. Granted, he gets force choked, but, you know, even after he's let go of the force choke, he's still like,
well,
bitch.
Leia is allowed to smack talk Vader because he's
Grand Moff Tarkin smack talks Vader.
Grand Moff Tarkin outranks Vader.
No, he doesn't. They're not out. They're like separate parts of the military.
The Grand Moff outranks him, obviously.
Obviously. He's the Grand Moff.
He's the Grand Moff. What the fuck is a Grand Moff? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know.
Apparently it outranks a Darth. Whatever the fuck a Darth is.
I always see Darth Vader. Darth Vader is kind of like the Emperor's free agent.
No, I like going back and just taking off the nostalgia goggles and watching those movies. And New Hope is bad. Empire is good. And Return of the Jedi is the worst movie of the original trilogy by far.
How is New Hope bad? It's just slow. I'll give you that. There's slow moments.
Bad is maybe a little harsh. But it's like Return of the Jedi is bad. Like, that is a bad movie. Empire is good.
I will disagree 100% on Jedi being a bad movie. It's
like Ewoks, also fucking garbage.
How are Ewoks garbage?
Have you seen an Ewok? Just look at an Ewok. It's fucking trash. Like, the fact that a tiny little fucking furry dwarf can actually beat a stormtrooper is the dumbest fucking thing ever. Like,
Yoda lifted an X-Wing out of the
Yoda's got superpowers.
Yoda says size does not make one great.
I think he says does not make one great.
Yeah, size doesn't matter.
Size matters not.
No, size matters
but size
not,
literally
yeah.
fucking matters in the actual world when you aren't a superhuman who can lift spaceships with your mind.
They were fighting guerrilla warfare, man. It's all just a symbolism of Vietnam.
Fucking stupid.
The Ewoks were the Viet Cong fighting against the Americans.
A ground war assault on that fucking moon was it was so fucking stupid.
Well, they had to because it was shielded.
It was so dumb. Not the rebels going in. Just like the fact that they didn't just why would you be running around on the planet trying to fight the Ewoks? You just fucking sit in your bunker and you laser anything that fucking moves.
Well,
has anyone in Star Wars ever heard of a fucking turret?
Well,
apparently not.
There's turrets on Hoth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got destroyed. So Ghost just goes to show you the folly of static defense.
They got destroyed because they're shitty rebel turrets and they're getting destroyed. They're shitty space Al-Qaeda turrets.
Space Al-Qaeda turrets.
That's the rebellion. They're space Al-Qaeda. They got destroyed by superior Western technology.
Okay.
The Empire.
Okay.
Western technology crushing.
Well,
space Al-Qaeda.
The rebels obviously never studied history, because if they just looked at the early parts of World War II, they would know that static defenses doesn't work against a mobile enemy.
I mean, calling an AT-AT mobile is pretty generous.
Oh, it can move.
It can go. It can go.
Yeah. And the rebels really didn't have much that could combat them. I mean, the tow cables were the only thing, and that was just like the Empire was going like, okay. Who would have thought they would use tow cables? Not me. That was definitely not one. That wasn't on my list. Like, did you think of tow cables? No, I didn't think of tow cables. Seriously, guys, this was just a bad groupthink issue. I'm sorry. Next time we'll come up with like clippers on the legs that will take care of this.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Jedi is a.
No, I think you're being a little unfair on Jedi. And I will say that A New Hope is not a bad movie. A New Hope is actually a very good movie, for especially for like 1977.
I don't know. I think there's a like I'm trying to distance myself from my memory of it watching it as a kid because I found that.
Well, yeah, that's what most, what we do on Comic Book Logic all the time.
Most people who watch those movies as a kid have a far different like interpretation of all of those movies if they started watching them as an adult.
Yeah,
most people who watch the first Star Wars as an adult are just kind of like, eh, it's okay.
Well, I think one of the key things, and this is what we do on Comic Book Logic, is we really have to look at a movie when it's made. So, like, we just watched Batman Returns, which is from 1992, and you can't look at Batman Returns in comparison to today. I mean, you can, but it has to be part of the review. In order to really qualify if it's a good movie, part of that is you have to look at, well, it's 1992. What are we looking at? What was Tim Burton doing?
It's a Tim
doing?
Burton movie.
Yeah.
What, like, are we... all the Tim Burton movies are Tim Burton movies.
Yeah. Well, what was going on with the state of movies? And we were talking about how in 92, there was no real distinction for kids' movies and adults' movies. There were family movies, and then there were movie movies. There was no, like, subgenre, like, children's film in 92. That really didn't exist. I mean, it kind of did with Disney. And a little bit with the Don Bluth movies. Like, that was starting to get to that era, but that didn't ramp up until the late 90s, early 2000s, when the kids movie boom really took off. I think Shrek was like the big
somebody former. Once told me the world was gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, you don't stop running. So it makes sense
for fun.
That makes sense. It is dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so much more is taking the back street. You never know if you don't go. You never know if you don't go. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go pay.
That was great. A musical treasure.
Yeah. So there's kind of like just talk about Star Wars for you. I mean, I would definitely say that you will like it.
I'm going to watch it on Netflix. I refuse to like it. I will hate it. I refuse.
I think you're not hurting yourself, but I think you're just... I am like you, and I was like you in a lot of ways, but this movie sold me. It made me feel happy to watch. I found myself yesterday watching the second showing. Found my mouth was hurting because I was smiling so much watching this movie. And it had nothing to do with my memories. I mean, it did have stuff to do with my memories of liking Star Wars, but none of the stuff in there was like, oh, I only like this because I like this part as a kid. It was more like they captured that spirit, that thing that I liked as a little kid, and I really enjoyed it.
I feel that you failed us. You failed me. You failed the listeners.
I know. And Poe Dameron is one of my favorite characters of all time.
That's the stupidest fucking name. Star Wars names are the worst.
They are pretty bad.
In all of science fiction, Star Wars names are the fucking worst by far. I challenge anyone to choose a sci-fi series that has worse names and stuff. Like all of them: Battlestar, Star Trek, Babylon 5, Stargate, any sci-fi. Period. Their names are better than Star Wars names. Star Wars names are the fucking worst.
They are pretty bad. There's like one of the things I'm not going to get too into that. Well, I mean, part of the reason why Star Wars names suck so bad is that they all have like a similar kind of cadence and sound to them, but it's this big pan-galactic story. Like, the name should be like super different or like species related, but they're all kind of like, your name is Subkavarn, okay?
Panda Baba.
Yeah. It's they're kind of...
I've got the death sentence on 12 systems.
I'll be careful.
You'll be dead. That fucking guy.
He's Dr. Evanson.
Dr. Zevran?
Evanson.
Everzan?
Everzan, something like that. Yeah.
I don't remember. He was shitty in the card game.
he was shitty in the card game. I remember that. All right, let's talk about some gaming stuff. You played anything lately?
Let's see.
Anything new lately? Anything old lately?
I'm just playing card games early.
Still playing Cardfight Vanguard.
Yep, yeah. Playing Vanguard. Still keeping an eye on Force of Will and
Force of Will. They fixed that problem yet?
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's been there's now the Force of Will is a different problem, which I don't know is may or not be a problem. But Force of Will seems to be there's like four or five viable decks, which is good. That's a healthy environment.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you feel about the game, all the decks try and kill you on turn three.
Okay.
So
if they don't kill you on turn three, it becomes a slogfest.
Not really. It's just like they're all very fast. So like it's five decks that are pretty different that all just like try and end the game on turn three. So it's really fast. It's a hyper fast card game. So if you're into more
interesting,
if you're into more slow paced, like controlling decks, like Magic, if you're a blue player, you would probably not be having a very good time at Force Will right now, because there's an aggro deck that just puts out so much damage super fast, can just take you out in turn three. There's a combo deck that takes infinite turns.
Combo.
Yeah, well, it takes infinite turns and kills you with one guy. Like, it doesn't matter. Just like attacks you with one guy over and over because they're taking infinite turns. And there's that's like there's one that's uses its ruler, flips the ruler fast and tries to take you out with that. I don't know. It's fine.
It's fine.
Force Will's got problems that aren't really related to the game at this point, but we'll see. It's still selling really well. The game is still growing, so there's a lot of doom and gloom in it. I think this is an interesting, case study in CCGs, like card game history, because no game has ever. This is like, it's probably more success quicker than even Magic, which was, you know, a phenomenon, obviously, that it launched a genre of gaming. But the explosion of popularity at Force Will had is unprecedented. It's still unprecedented. So I think there's a lot of people really concerned, or, you know, it feels like unfamiliar territory, because there like every other card game that's that hasn't died on, like that hasn't been DOA, has always been had kind of like a slow grow, you know, like Vanguard, the first big regional tournament they had, I think there was like 80 or 100 players.
Wow.
So that's the first one they had, which is like, but the last one that I went to had like almost 400 players.
Wow.
So that's over 3 years. And that's the thing that are two or 3 years. But that's the slow growth is what you're expecting. The first regional I went to for Force Will had like 480 players. The
wow.
first one. So that's gigantic. To put this in perspective, in Magic terms, I believe the first big Magic championship at Gen Con had like 90 players.
Huh.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people and like.
But a lot of people. That's not really saying perspective, because there were like no card games before Magic.
Magic was so popular when it came out. Like, it sold out everywhere. You could not get your hands on it. Everyone wanted it. If you were involved in games in any way, you were playing Magic. That's the thing. Everyone playing games was playing Magic. And it was at Gen Con, which is the only gaming convention at the time.
Yeah,
like, there was not a single. There were the only other conventions at the time were all local, like tiny little things. Like, this was the gaming convention, so there were only 90 players at this tournament. And like, I'm sure there's people there using just starter decks, not knowing that they're gonna get shellacked by some dude who's got like a fucking ridiculous bullshit Black Lotus combo deck.
Oh, the Black Lotus combo deck. Oh, they got a Chaos Orb.
But
they got any Moxes?
Like, it's not exactly the same. But just to give an idea, like, Magic was a hugely explosively popular card game, and they only managed 90 people in the first big tournament.
Yeah,
at the biggest gaming convention around.
Yeah, well, it also, back when it came out, was not a gigantic convention. It is
sure.
now. It was
people
are like, Milwaukee. I ain't going there.
It's true.
This place smells like bratwurst and sauerkraut.
I mean, that's great. That's an upside.
Yeah,
that's a plus.
Why is it so German up here?
So I think people are really worried, or they have like a hesitation, because like when that deck came out that was fucking wrecking everyone's shit, like people are quitting and like, it's just new. Because like, there's the point of investment where you're super, there's the people who are super invested and they're like, I'm not quitting, like no matter what. Like, that's the Warhammer style. Like, there's like, they've invested.
The Warhammer.
They've invested.
I believe we'll call that the Games Workshop style.
Sure. They've invested so much, they're just not going into another game. So there's those guys. But then there's people who are like, haven't invested a lot, maybe they spent like $100 and they've just built a deck, and they're like, well, this game's new and it sucks.
How many box sets have they come out with? Like, how many
set, like Booster sets?
Yeah. Well, like, you know, when you buy the when you get a shipped a box, how many of
that has packs in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, booster sets.
Yeah, booster sets. But I mean, like, how many different?
There are six.
Six. Okay. So I mean, like, for. I mean, I'm sure a first edition box, like whatever the first one was, is probably going for a lot right now.
It's all still print. It's all still
in print. It's all still in print, then that's like, what, an investment of like $600 and you can pretty much have the entire set.
Yeah, for
pretty
the most part.
Pretty much.
I mean, if you pick and choose, if you just built decks too. I'm saying, like, if you just build a deck instead of buying packs, you just like go and buy singles, you can put your deck together for like $100 pretty easily.
Yeah.
So let's say you did that and then like that deck came out that's shitting on everyone, you could be like, well, I've only invested this $100, so I'm just gonna quit this game and go back to the game I was playing before.
Yeah.
So some people quit, some people didn't, and then people are like, there's this perception of people like just quitting the game in droves.
Yeah.
Which is not really accurate, because the sales of the game are increasing, and like one of the biggest Force of Will like community websites that it's called Fow Tavern. He actually released his just to like try and like set some of this debate to rest. He released his like his website metrics.
Yeah,
and it showed like his the unique visits, the new and like he showed exactly how many more people were looking at his site, and it's like the number was just growing and growing. And
he's
like, so people are a little concerned for no real good reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's I always hear positive things about it. I always hear the game selling out from retailers. It's not like I don't see like the warning signs that I see like for something like Privateer Press, which really has to watch out, because
they're doing real bad right now.
Yeah, because that's the number of players is dropping dramatically. Yeah.
Well,
they
mean,
really need to go.
Their game's broken. Like, they need to fix the fun. They need a new edition. Basically.
They need a new edition. They need to move to smaller games is what they need to do.
They need to do the opposite. The bigger games are a problem, not a benefit. Like, I said before, like Colossals are not a choice if you play a normal points value that lets you take a Colossal Plus,
which is
because you want those things to be a Colossal instead.
Yeah.
And that's hard to balance, because how overpowered are they if you're playing in a small game? Like, I played a game when the Convergence of Sires was new. I played a 15-point meat grinder, whatever.
I know.
It's the one where you can only use jacks.
Okay.
Or beasts. And I played with my war jacks against a colossal, and I got fucking annihilated because my war jacks couldn't do anything to it. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess I should have brought a colossal. So without, you know, and that's a problem. Like, if they're that overpowering, is 15 like if that game points becomes unviable, like, are you only playing 50? I think 35 is where the game should still be, because 35 gives you room to take a colossal, but not a colossal in all the best choices in your army, and it also gives players the ability to take things that will stop a colossal.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think that the arms race screws up a lot of games. Like, it's like the biggest cause of death in any tabletop collectible game, the arms race, especially in mini gaming. It's like, maybe not so much in card gaming, because in card gaming
everyone plays the same.
Yeah, well, everyone plays the same, and there could be like you have like a card that's really brutally broken, and it's like, oh, this card's like a $300 card, and then everyone's playing with that card, and then all of a sudden like the one guy finds that the 15 cent common card is like, oh, well, this completely nukes it.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, okay, so it makes
sense.
It's now.
It's a different thing, because you don't have the baseline of you're playing Menoth and I'm playing Kador.
Yeah.
Because right there's immediate imbalance. You know, like, you're playing something that I'm not. So there's the first level of imbalance. So how do you balance two completely different factions? Well, usually you need to pick a points cost to just balance for that points cost. And I think 50 points is too big, because I think if I play 50 points of Kador versus 50 points of Menoth, you as the Menoth player will have a distinct advantage, because at 50 points, you can take every best choice that Menoth has. At 50 points, I can't take every best choice that Kador has, because I don't have enough points at 50 to do it. But you, as Menoth, you do have enough points at 50 to do it.
Yeah.
But and that's where a big problem lies. Like, there's always, and that's, I think that's for a lot of, and like, I'll just throw it back. Perfect example of how like points, like designing the games for a points value really matters, and having like a sliding scale of points is a terrible game design choice. Tomb Kings.
You always love going back to the Tomb Kings.
I played more games with the Tomb Kings than any other army in fantasy. And that's where I learned. And they were my first big army that I tried to be competitive with in fantasy. So I learned a lot of brutal lessons from them. And that's what turned me into the Munchkin-y power gaming horrible, abusive verser that eventually started wrecking people with the Demons of Chaos lists from Storm of Chaos. But the Tomb Kings were literally unplayable below 2,000 points.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't take the Lich High Priest because that was a Lord choice. So if you didn't have a Lord choice of the Tomb Kings, your army was beyond bad. So like 1,500 points of Tomb Kings versus 1,500 points of, I don't know, Empire, like, just gonna get fucking annihilated because your army doesn't work. Like, you have to have that one, that linchpin Lord unit is the entire army. Like,
yeah,
that dude matters so much, it's ridiculous. And that's just one thing. And then there's other lists where it's like, well, I need these like rares because like my core, like the armies that are like undead are a good example, where like the just in general undead, they were always more slanted towards the higher choices. So Chaos losing a rare slot fucking doesn't matter.
No.
Like, they're like, oh, I lost a rare slot. Luckily, I can take Chaos Knights. They're core, and they're the best fucking unit in my book. I'm good. You know, like the classic, the core competency tournament. You just play Chaos. Just like, I'll just bring all Chaos Knights, because that's core. They're core troops for Chaos.
And they destroy everything.
Yeah. And so losing a rare slot for Chaos and losing a special slot or two for Chaos is like, who fucking gives a shit? But losing a rare slot or in some special slots for an undead army where your core troops suck, like, that's a huge blow to your chances of winning any game. That's the thing. The slots aren't the problem. Like, having like 2,000 points is 4 special, 2 rare. Like, that is not a problem. The problem is it doesn't scale properly when you go up or down.
Yeah.
And then like there's the opposite issue. If you go to 3,000 points, the armies that have really good rare, really good lords, and really good specials are busted at 3,000 points
because
you're
always,
like, yeah, because you're the good shit that you're supposed to be like just teetering the line of busted, now you have doubled and you're just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna fucking destroy.
Well, that's why
you.
I was never a huge fan of the slot system. I like the percentage system. I think it worked, but people are too dumb to understand how math works. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and it makes sense.
I mean,
but
the slots and percentage system, yeah, is pretty much the same, because like, you're gonna,
you'll max,
but so it doesn't really matter. Like, but 4 special slots versus 40% in special slots just means that in either version you're going to spend 40% of your points in special or take 4 special choices. It doesn't, they're kind of a non-choice.
I mean, like, for the Tomb Kings example, 40, let's say you're taking 25% of your army could be a rare choice. So let's say at 1,000 points, that gives you 250 points that you can spend on rare choices. So you might be able to put...
Oh, no. The percentage scales better.
Yeah, that's what
absolutely.
I'm saying. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, the slot choices need to be restrained by, like, this is how many points our game is. Like,
yeah,
this game is 2,000 points, period. Like, end of line, stop.
Oh, I get what you're saying. So, no, like, yeah, no, I completely agree. I think Warhammer Fantasy is actually the best, was best at 2,000 points. 2150 was fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, yes, give it a flat number and say, this is the army that everyone, this is the size that everyone's going to play at. Build your army to this. That's right. The way it should be. But it's not. So anyway, I played a new game. So I played a game last night. It was called Don't Stop Talking. Have you heard about this game? It was on Steam. So it's technically a video game / tabletop game.
You're talking about the Don't Stop Talking or Everyone Explodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you played this?
I've seen it. I haven't played it.
Oh, my God.
I don't have an Oculus Rift, so I'm not really...
We didn't play it with Oculus. We just had it on the... we had a laptop on the table, and everyone gets these little... the guy who was running the game printed out all the manuals. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting there with the manuals looking at it. And let me tell you this. It is... Now, I don't want to sound sexist, but...
And that is the thing that someone says right before they say something incredibly sexist.
All the men at the table were instantly like, okay, let's do this. All right. And then it was like, all right, so I got these wires. This is what they look like. We got this. And all the men are like going through it. Like, okay, they would do this. And then it goes to like, we would pass around if we defeated the bomb or if it exploded, it would go to the next person and they would get a chance to do it. And then the girls would be like, it's, just like, spit it out. it's a word and there's 6 words underneath it, and it's like, oh my God, come on. But I don't know, me and Anthony, were able to like get through like these incredibly difficult puzzles just because like we thought on the same wavelength. It was just, you know, it's like there was one that's like a series of cryptic looking letters, right? And he's like, all right, looks like a Disney D, looks like a backwards K, looks like an upside down I.
Looks like a squiggly N.
Yeah. And so we're like, okay, this, and this. And boop, 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 boop.
You should probably tell people what the concept of the game is.
Okay. That's true. I should. So basically.
So you got it. You got you, Anthony and you played it good. Women bad.
Yes.
You got it covered.
That's all.
Next subject.
That's all you need to know. It's early. Come on, man. I was up till 2 o'clock last night watching Star Wars.
Well, whose fault is that?
Pet B.
George Lucas's fault. That's whose fault it is.
I don't have anything to do
with myth.
I don't have anything to do with these movies anymore.
With the power of myth.
So basically, the concept of the game is there's a virtual bomb that you have in front of you, and it's the only way to defuse the bomb is to solve these puzzles. Now, you could only the puzzles are all solved by logic. Logic puzzles. So it's like, if this, then that. If this, then that. If not this, then this. And you have to kind of go through the steps in order to do it. So the bombs range anywhere from 3 to 11 bombs on it. And there's all sorts of things on the case, too. So the case is movable on the screen. You can see if there's batteries, the serial number, colors, stripes, all sorts of stuff with the bomb. So they'll be like, okay, so we're doing a Simon memory puzzle. So it's like the four colors. And
red, beep, blue, boop, green, green, blue, green.
Yeah. Like that. And they'll be like, okay, well, does the serial number have a vowel in it? And then you have to look at, you have to like, you can virtually move the bomb case around and see if there's a serial number on it and solve it like that. Now, the puzzles are generally, earlier in the game, are pretty easy. They're like that, the symbols, they're cutting wires, they're kind of like solving a maze that you can't actually see. You have to have the people describe the maze to you. So you have the bomb in front of you, and all the rest of the players have these bomb diffusing manuals. So it's their job to guide you through how to cut the bomb. So you think about it like a TV movie or like a movie, like where the guy's like, I don't want to blow up this bomb. You're on the phone and the guy's like, I'll talk you through it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you're that guy.
Yeah, you're that guy. Like, it should be done over the phone. Like, the person with the computer should be in another room and they have to solve it over the phone.
We played, they do it over Skype. So it's like one dude like sitting at his computer and he's got people on Skype telling him what to do.
Yeah, that's what would be like the way to do it.
The other one I was watching was they had a dude in an Oculus Rift. So, like, he could only see the screen, and, like, the two guys are sitting next to him, but, like, they can't see shit because he's just wearing an Oculus Rift.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it's supposed to be played. And you could do it. We did it with a laptop right at the table, and it was fine. It worked pretty well. Every once in a while, though, someone would look over at it and go, you're a fucking moron. That's not what it is at all.
See, that's cheating.
I know, but, I mean, it's, like, that's every great once in a while would be, like, because it would be, like,
that's part of the game.
I know it is part of the game. And that's what makes it fun. It was a really fun, like, party game to play. It's a good one, I would imagine, to do while drinking or, like...
Oh, man, that would be awful.
to do a, like, drinking game that if it's, like... All right,
when the bomb explodes, everyone takes
does a
shot.
Drink. Or just the person who is running the bomb has to take a shot so you can get bombed.
Well, I think you would make the other people... If the bomb explodes, you make the other people take a shot.
No. I think it's if the bomb explodes, the person who has to defuse the bomb has to take the shot. So that way, not everybody's getting super drunk really quick, but it's just drunk enough. Like, you'll fail a couple times while doing it, but you get just drunk enough to go through it. There was literally like one point where I had like a Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park point where it's like my wife was trying to like. Describe how to cut the wires, and I like literally grab the manual from her, go, give me this. He's like, all right, this is what you do.
That's humorous.
Yes, it's a fun game. I would really recommend it. Get on Steam, and you have to print out the manuals, of course, for your players, and it's a really fun party game. I would suggest it for a good like New Year's party game.
It's a tabletop video game.
It is. It's like the perfect example of blending tabletop and video game, because you really like the only thing that like it's kind of reminded me a lot of like old Milton Bradley kids games, you know, like Don't Break the Ice or Don't Wake Daddy, the game of childhood abuse.
I like Omega Virus.
Kind of like
you human scum.
Did I tell you that they had a copy of Omega Virus at Half Price Books? $200.
That game's not that good, baby.
Yeah. Well, my... Yeah.
There you go. That's nostalgia-driven sales right there.
Yeah, it is. I told you about my sister. I showed you the thing. Did I talk about that on the podcast? My sister, she's an occupational therapist, so she works with a very, very...
Fireball Island?
Yeah. Fireball Island. I don't know if I talked about it on
the
cast.
You didn't talk about it on the cast.
Okay. So my sister's an occupational therapist, so she works with heavily disabled people, and she works with...
she's a retard wrangler.
We don't use that word. I work in special education, too.
All right.
No, but she was...
I mean, you wrangle retards, right?
No. So she works with...
get along, little doggy.
He's doing this just to make me uncomfortable. but she works with a group of highly autistic teenagers, like young teenagers. And she was asking me about different board games that we had when we were kids. And she's like, do you still have Fireball Island? I'm like, no. And I kind of wish I did because it's like...
Worth a fucking fortune.
It's worth $200, $300.
Compared to how much that game actually cost? That's a fucking fortune.
It was an expensive game. That was like a $65 to $80 game.
Which means if it's $60 and it's worth $300, that's a little bit...
I mean,
to call that something appreciating in value.
I appreciate that appreciating in value. But even still, that for a board game in the 1990s, that was a super expensive game.
Fireball Island was the shit. Yeah. That game was fun.
Yeah, but she was like, do you still have this? And I'm like, no, you should probably give them a game that's a little more... she didn't tell me that she was doing it for a class. She just mentioned that. I'm like, well, you guys should do like something like Carcassonne or
Settlers of Catan.
Or Settlers of Catan. And she goes... No, this is for a group of highly autistic teenagers. I go, oh, then you should get them to play Yu-Gi-Oh.
And my comment was, Catan would be just fine.
I know. I it's just
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Face it, Jimbo. You're entering the Phantom Zone. I think that's what they call it. I don't know.
It's Shadow Realm.
Shadow Realm. Damn it, I screwed it up. I'm sorry. I never played Yu-Gi-Oh. Okay.
I mean, Shadow Realm was only from the American dub of the anime.
Okay.
That's a completely made up concept by 4Kids, which is the company that notoriously, anytime they brought an anime over, ever, they would censor it, remove all references to anything. Like, if they're, like, one of the most ridiculous ones was Onigiri, which is rice balls, which is a fucking ball of rice with seaweed wrapped around it, and it's a very popular common Japanese snack, and it's in a lot of anime. They would digitally remove the onigiri and put in hamburgers, and the hamburgers would look so fucking weird because it's some fucking intern just going like, I gotta stick a hamburger in this dude's hand, and like their fingers would look weird because they have to like move in and like digitally remove the onigiri just so they could not have to explain what onigiri is. They could have just said rice ball, because rice ball is pretty goddamn self-explanatory. So they did that kind of shit all the time. And like there's there's actually in Yu-Gi-Oh in the dub classic scene, one of the villains, he's a villain turned heel like Vegeta, but Seto Kaiba, he's the fucking rich dude who's like, screw the rules, I don't have money. And also the origin of not so fast Kaiba. Kaiba is running away from two guys who, in the Japanese language version, are trying to kill him. They break into his house and they start shooting at him, and he jumps out a window to escape. In the 4Kids dub, they kick his door open, and they both are clearly holding guns. But the guns have been, even worse than the flashlights in E.T., the guns have been completely airbrushed out of their hands. So they're just holding their hands out as if they had invisible guns. And they're like, don't move. And then they cut the scene so awkwardly because like Kaiba jumped behind a desk and like they're shooting and there's like bullets are hitting the wall and shit. And then he jumps out the window. So the scene in the dub is Kaiba's like standing. They bust in with their invisible guns and then he's inexplicably at a window and he's just like, ah, and he jumps out the fucking window.
Well,
so that's 4Kids. And they unbelievably shit on a show that was actually not too bad.
I will, as an add-on to our cut reference last week, I will always bow down to your knowledge of anime and manga and Japanese culture as a whole. I have no interest in it.
Just 4Kids was notorious. Like, and they brought over a lot more than Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Just happened to be like a phenomenon that
I've actually heard of 4Kids before. Yeah,
they're gone now. They went bankrupt.
Did they? Good.
It is good.
I remember, did they do like the crazy cuts for Dragon Ball?
I think 4Kids was involved with one. That Dragon Ball is a fucking
Yeah,
huge
I know.
Huge thing. But I believe the original Fox, the original Fox airing of Dragon Ball Z, I believe, was for kids.
I just remember...
Might be wrong on that.
I remember going over to my friend Mick's house, and he'd be like, we're going to watch Dragon Ball. And I'd be like,
Dude, Dragon Ball's okay. So bad.
And I was just like, I was watching, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me. I'm going to sit here and eat cheese balls.
You can't just sit down and watch Dragon Ball, because it doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, Dragon Ball is, like, so, like, connected. Two, that show is so full of fucking filler. Ugh. They did a new one called Dragon Ball Kai, which is actually not new. It's just the original show, but it's all of the filler episodes are completely removed. So in case anyone's not familiar with what filler is,
I believe it fills.
Right. But it's very specifically in like the big anime. So like One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, any of these anime series that are like 500 plus episodes, they all have it because the animation outpaces the manga. So what happens is like, because the manga only comes out once a month or whatever, like in the monthly Shonen Jumps or whatever. So that means that I've got 12 issues for a year, or let's say 24 issues.
Yeah.
Well, a season is going to be way more than 24 episodes. So you're going to have some padding because translating the comic to animation is not one for one. Obviously, you can make like a fight scene that might last a few panels in a comic would be, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes on animation. But what happens is they go like, well, the manga is now like three story arcs behind us, so we need to do this. So then they just make shit up and put in they just animate random shit that doesn't happen in the story. So it compromises the integrity of the story and is generally really bad because it's dudes like fucking like they're just like ad hocking like perfect example. I'll use Dragon Ball Z. There's a sequence where they're going to another planet and the planet is named Namek. And they have to go to get to this planet, and that's where like the new that's where the next story arc really gonna like that's where the new big bad enemy is. They're gonna fight him on this planet.
Is that where they fight Boo?
No, Boo's on Earth.
Do they fight Vegeta?
Vegeta is on Namek. Yes, okay. Vegeta's fought on Earth and Namek.
Oh,
so there you go.
I can't remember who's the pink guy.
That's Boo.
Okay, that's Boo.
Yeah.
Who is the green guy?
Cell.
Was that Cell?
Earth.
Okay. Never mind. That's I've exhausted all my knowledge.
Well, that's pretty much it, actually. The only one you missed was Frieza, who's actually Frieza. On Namek.
Okay, Frieza. Yeah, okay. Frieza's I remember Namek. Frieza. Okay, so.
So they're going to Namek. And
he's the guy that talks like this, right?
Yeah, he kind of talks like this in the car. It sounds like an old woman in the cartoon.
Yeah, that's okay,
that's Frieza. Yeah. Frieza's voice is like insanely like in the Japanese is an insanely effeminate dude. He's like, oh, it's really funny.
I'll take your word for that one.
That's funny. So they're going to Namek and then they go to Namek and land there and a whole bunch of random shit happens. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Well, it turns out they landed on fake Namek. So there's like 25 episodes of them on a planet that's not the right planet, which is filler. And they're just like, okay, we need to like spread this out. So yeah, that's the kind of shit you get when you get filler. It's a,
it's bad. We're getting towards the end here, so I just wanted to something that we've been ignoring as of late is some Kickstarter stuff.
I'll throw in a quick game thing because
what's up?
You know, we didn't really talk much about games. The Dragon Ball Z role playing game, hilarious. It was D6 based, and there was an like, I don't know who the fuck wrote this game, but there was actual. Moves were to resolve, you would need to roll multiple hundreds of D6s.
Wow.
So there you go. There that's what happens when you get fucking licensed games.
Yeah, there you go. So we've been ignoring what's it called? We've been ignoring Kickstarter for a while. Not out of purpose, just nothing really super huge.
Yeah,
the last big one was that that Catan with mechs. Whatever that game was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one was pretty cool. One that came up pretty cool that I actually really liked, and here you can take a look at it. It's H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu's in solid bronze. They're doing a Kickstarter for them. They look phenomenal. They're expensive as hell, though.
Oh, yeah,
though.
The bronze. They're going to be fucking crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Dude, the Yogg-Sothoth looks sick.
I know. Tell me about it. I was like, I would love to have a set of those.
Wow. Oh, a little H.P. Lovecraft. Is he also in bronze?
I don't know off the top of my head.
He's 10 pounds.
Jesus.
Let's see.
The shipping weight alone on these. Right.
So for Yogg's, all right. So for the complete set in bronze, which is Cthulhu, Shub-Niggurath, and Yogg-Sothoth, limited to the first 10 sponsors. So this is the early bird price.
Yeah.
Is 150 euros. So that's like 300 bones.
No, that's 150 euros is 150 bucks right now. It's really? A 1-for-1, yeah.
Wow. All
yeah, right. The euro is shit right now, thanks to Greece and Spain.
Finally.
Greasy Spain.
Thanks, Greasy Spain.
And Portugal, too. Portugal. Let's not forget the Portuguese.
In Portugal, I was a cardiologist.
we'll throw in Italy, too. Italy's not doing so well. Greece is the main thing. But yeah, you can get shit cheap with the euro. I would highly suggest if you're in America and you're ordering from Europe right now, now is the time to do it because you can get some shit cheap.
This is from Barcelona, Spain.
Yeah, the pound is still pretty strong. I mean, it's not super strong. It's cheaper than it was in the past, but I think it's still like $1.30, $1.25. Okay. So not as bad as it was. It was $2 for a while.
Yes.
You couldn't get shit.
All right, so then I mean, $150. I mean, that's still expensive. That's not throwing away money, but
even at 10 pounds, it's not big. It's probably only about maybe 8 inches tall.
Oh, the shipping is going to be absurd.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But man, what a desk item.
Yeah,
just fucking stick that Cthulhu on your desk at work.
Yeah, my yeah. It says it's 115 millimeters tall. Oh, what's that in freedom? Hold on.
What are you gonna do? You gonna get the calculator? You gotta apply some. You gonna apply some freedom to the 115 millimeters?
This one only has freedom units.
Oh man, you're blown out. Well, a millimeter. That's centimeters.
Well, centimeters to millimeters, pretty easy to do.
Centimeters. It's what? It's 2.5 centimeters is an inch. Is that what it is?
Something like that. It's 11.5 centimeters, so
divide that by about 2, because if it's centimeters...
It's about 8 inches.
Okay.
Yeah, about 6 to 8 inches tall.
All of our European listeners are going to be like, you idiots.
Well, guess what? What country put a man on the moon, Steve?
Russia.
No. What?
It was Russia.
No, Russia never put me on the moon.
See, okay, so now I'm gonna
Russia wasn't even a country then.
I'm gonna drop a truth bomb on you.
Okay, truth bomb.
So the Russians, the Spetsnaz, and the KGB, they got someone on the moon. But
But
the Americans were right behind him.
Okay.
So what happened is the Americans landed behind the Russians, assassinated the Russians.
Okay.
And in order to save face, the Russians had to just not mention that they made it to the moon.
Yeah, we didn't make it to moon.
Yeah. And by moon, I mean that soundstage in California. See,
well, duh,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
The Russians actually went to the moon, and then our astronauts followed them, assassinated them on the moon, but we didn't broadcast the moon landing.
No,
the moon
of course
landing
not.
That was broadcast was the soundstage landing, okay? Because the reptilians live from... They're actually... People think the reptilians are from the Earth's core, but they're wrong. The reptilians are actually from the moon. So the astronauts found this out and were obviously terminated with extreme prejudice. Because the American, I mean, this is a heroic sacrifice from the American astronauts because they were trying to intercept the Russians before they made it to the moon, so there wouldn't have to be any loss of life.
Okay.
But unfortunately, the Russians did make it, so the American astronauts made it, and then once they once the reptilians had realized that there had been the human touchdown on the moon, they obviously after the Russians were killed by the Americans, they killed the Americans as well. Cleaned up everything, total government cover up, and then our landing was broadcast from that soundstage in California.
Thank you for ramping for me because I just had to pull up another game. This is one that I saw that I actually really liked. Unfortunately, it's only got 3 days left.
Look,
so
if you freeze frame just right, you can see the second set of eyelids blink when they need to breathe. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Yes, it can. Did you see that video that made it around? This is a game that
he's a reptilian.
It's only got 3 days left in it. And this actually goes with what you're saying. It's a game called Secret Hitler.
I heard about this game. Someone is Secret Hitler.
Yes, someone is Secret Hitler in
the
game.
Funniest. That's from Cards Against Humanity.
Is it? Because it says it's from Chicago.
It's the Cards Against Humanity guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they based in Chicago?
Yeah, they are.
Oh.
Didn't you ever see the video of him doing donating that money to the
He's doing it to NPR, didn't he? Or WBEZ?
I remember. There was a video of them donating money.
How did
I
not know they were from Chicago?
They're in the loop. Like, he's walking in the loop. You can see a bunch of the Chicago, staples.
Okay, well, this is Cards Against Humanity. It sounds a lot better than Cards Against Humanity.
It sounds much better than Cards Against Humanity.
But it's still a little werewolfy for me. I'm not a huge werewolf mafia guy.
I don't know about the special rules, but the concept of the game was funny.
Well, it says each round players elect a president and a chancellor who will work together to enact a law from a random deck. If the government passes a fascist law, players must try to figure out if they were betrayed or simply unlucky. Secret Hitler also features government powers that come into play as fascism advances. The fascists will use the powers to create chaos unless liberals can pull the nation back from the brink of war. It sounds like it's actually kind of a fun sounding party game.
Hopefully it doesn't have the class rules. That's the thing I really hate about Werewolf is like they have all of these like different special classes that all have rules that aren't written on their fucking cards. You have to remember them and reference. It's so stupid. And like, I don't like that. This one sounds like it might have a... might have a thing going. Also, yeah. It's called fucking Secret Hitler. Like,
yeah, it's got a well. There's only two teams. There's the liberal team and the fascist team. And there's
don't the fascists immediately win if Secret Hitler is ever voted as a chancellor? I think that happens.
If Hitler is executed, the game ends immediately in a liberal victory.
Okay.
So fascist policy. Okay. Yeah. So. It says here, it could go deeper, but if Hitler is executed, the game ends.
Okay.
So you have to...
I think if if I remember correctly, the win-loss conditions are, if Hitler is executed, the liberals win. If 5 fascist policies are passed, Secret Hitler wins. And then,
so that's a little bit like resistance.
And then if Secret Hitler is nominated chancellor and some number of fascist policies have passed, like 2 or 3 or something, then Secret Hitler immediately wins.
Do you like Resistance?
I've never played it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a fun game. I've actually played it a lot with my class.
I prefer Coup.
What?
I prefer Coup.
Oh, Coup. Yeah, yeah, well, it's kind of the same thing.
It's similar, but it's a faster, it's a more zippy game.
Got Mind Jammer, the role-playing game.
Mind Jammer?
Yeah.
Sounds like a rip-off of Spelljammer.
I know, so I don't even want to cover it. RuneQuest, the classic edition. Remember RuneQuest?
I sure don't.
It wasn't worth listening to. And then there was the Halfling Kickstarter. Did you see those?
No.
The little Halfling miniatures. Oh, they're so nice. They're expensive, though. Ooh, and Rumble Slam.
That sounds like a sport ball game.
It's a fantasy wrestling game.
Ooh.
Yeah. All
right, so see, now we're talking.
Yeah. It's the fast and fun tabletop miniature game of fantasy wrestling.
Now that sounds sweet.
Yeah. Because, as we all know, professional wrestling is the only true sport.
It's it may not be the only true sport, but it is the sport of kings. Did they have an orc John Cena? Because that would be awesome.
It looks interesting. I mean, it definitely looks like a sports ball game that I would give a try to. It looks really small. It's a standard thing. You get the wrestling. It actually looks a lot like a game like, I would say in the arena rec style, where you only have a few models.
I mean, you should. Wrestling is generally 1-on-1 or 2-on-2, unless it's a Royal Rumble.
With the stat cards and those things on there. It's not really expensive. It's kind of expensive. It's a British game. So
I want to see the King of the Ring. British? I can't trust them to handle professional wrestling.
Well, they did have the British Bulldog.
He was a product of the United States.
But he was the British Bulldog.
He was the British Bulldog. But those WWF, he was a WWF creation.
What about the Mountie?
If it was Japanese, that'd also be fine. Japanese, if it's pro wrestling, needs to be American, Japanese. Period.
Who was the Mountie guy? Do you remember him?
The Mountie?
Yeah, he was like dressed like a Mountie.
Oh, fuck, dude, I don't remember. You got me.
Well, there was the guys that were the French Canadians. And I can't remember. Oh, God, hold on a second.
The only Canadian I really remember is Bret Hart.
Bret the Hitman Hart?
Let's the Hart Foundation.
Yeah.
They were all Canadian.
Wait, hold on a second.
Welcome to Wrestling Cast. I'm your host, Slammin' Steve, and with me as always is Jolton Joe.
The Quebecers. Oh, I love the Quebecers. What a stupid concept for a wrestling team.
You know an awesome concept for a wrestling team? They're currently wrestling. They're called the Vaude Villains. They're fucking awesome. They're in like strongman singlets and they have twirly mustaches and their fucking entrance music is like vaudeville like harpsichord. It's like they come in and they're like fucking arms pumping up and down. The Vaude Villains, best fucking concept ever.
I've seen that WWE lately has really embraced the kind of insanity, like silliness.
Oh, there's a lot of like craziness going on. Although right now it's not so great because everybody's fucking injured. Every one of their superstars is fucking hurt. John Cena is hurt. Seth Rollins, who's the current WWE champ or was the champion, got hurt. He like fucking tore his ACL or something. Like every one of their like main like draw like superstars is fucking out. They're like in the hospital.
Ooh, The Edge was a was Canadian. Chris Benoit was Canadian.
Yeah, Chris Benoit. Ooh,
all the hearts are Canadian.
Yeah, the hearts.
The Heart Foundation, if you will.
That's what I said.
Chris Jericho.
The Walls of Jericho.
Wait, Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Is Canadian?
He's not Canadian.
What the hell am I looking at then?
I don't know, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson is not Canadian.
No, he's not. Oh, he does have dual citizenship in the United States and Canada.
Oh, no shit. All right, sweet.
There you go.
He's a double down.
He's a double down.
Double threat.
All right, so like, is there any more?
Well, if it's anything like France, he can get free healthcare here. Because if that's one of the things, one of my regrets is not getting my dual citizenship because my mom is a dual citizen. She's a citizen of France and the U.S. And that would have allowed me to get dual citizenship to France, but I never really did it. I should have, because now that I'm older and I understand how more of the world works, listen to this shit. If I were a citizen of France,
yes,
I could go to the hospital in the United States, be like, I've shot my leg. And the hospital goes, oh, I see you shot your leg. Here's your outrageously expensive medical bill, because this is America and everything is for profit. So fuck you. Here you go. And I go, oh, this is $150,000. I can't afford this. So now me, what would happen is I would go destitute trying to pay this medical bill back and my life would be ruined. If I were a dual Canadian citizenship, I would go, oh, let me just send this off to France. Whoop. And then the French government pays.
But then you'd have to eat really stinky cheese all the time.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, the free healthcare, probably worth it. Mm-hmm. Also, I like stinky cheese.
And you'd have to be French.
So upside?
Welcome to Game Classy.
Arguably the most important country in America's history, France.
I would say that's Morocco.
Morocco.
I think Morocco was the first country to
Morocco's modern life.
Morocco was the first country to actually accept American sovereignty, I believe. I'm not 100% sure.
You're a secret Hitler. Yeah.
All right, you found me. I am the secret Hitler. I am sorry. Okay, dude, I go now. It's only taken 103 episodes to find out that I am the secret Hitler. You win.
I found him out. This is a win for freedom.
It's okay. Well, you know, we're allowed to make fun of France because I don't think we have any French listeners.
Je m'appelle Steve.
Je m'appelle Joe. Yeah.
I don't know. I like France. I got nothing wrong with France.
Bunch of cheese-eating surrender monkeys.
Again, this country would not exist without France.
We come from France. All right, so one last thing before we go. One last Kickstarter.
You are more to France than Germany, and you're always giving Germany BJs.
It's true. Do you know that?
So that's how I figured out your secret, Hitler. You know, if that game is played, I would definitely recommend getting a tiny little Hitler mustache. And you have to like pass it to the player who's secret Hitler.
Then if they're discovered, you put the mustache.
They put the mustache on.
It would suck for me, but
it doesn't matter. You just put it over your mustache.
I wanted to talk about just really quick that there are two versions of Cyvass up on Kickstarter right now.
The fuck is Cyvass?
That is the fake kind of chess game that they play in Game of Thrones. Yeah, they talk about it in the books quite a bit.
Ah, okay.
They do show it in the show only a couple times, but they don't really say like, oh, we are playing Cyvass. No, they just kind of show it in passing, but in the books...
Is that like, anything like 3D chess?
No, it's kind of like... The way to describe it kind of works like...
Can you win Quatluz?
Yes. No, it plays like Stratego.
Okay.
Where you have like each piece it's like chess meets Stratego, where like each piece represents
Would anyone like to play Stratego? I have Stratego.
Stratego's the worst game known to mankind.
You've gotten wrecked by a bunch of bombs, haven't you?
I hate Stratego and every level. it is one of my most hated of games. But anyway, yeah, you still have different pieces.
Do you hate it more or less than Risk?
Oh, I hate it far more. I love Risk.
Okay.
I'm a big Risk fan, and if I find people who like Risk, I enjoy playing. I like playing against competitive Risk players.
I don't like
Risk.
I like Monopoly more than Risk.
Really? I don't like Monopoly more than Risk.
I think a lot of people's problem with Monopoly is, like, I've talked about this, I may or may not have talked about this on the cast, but I think a lot of people who say they hate Monopoly or don't like Monopoly, they probably don't like whatever random ass version of Monopoly.
Yeah, we talked about that.
They played, because Monopoly's actual rules are the rules that nobody knows. Yeah. Oh, what about Kalto? Is it anything like Kalto?
What's Kalto?
That's the Vulcan logic game.
With the
rods. They pull the rods out and it turns into the shape.
Yes. No, it's nothing like that.
Aww.
No, this is.
You know what? I've been watching Voyager recently, and this can't be from nostalgia because I didn't really watch Voyager at all when it was on TV. I've been liking it.
Oh, I hate Voyager.
I've been liking it, man.
There are so many bullshit characters on Voyager that I absolutely hate.
It's not as good, like, obviously. It's not as good as DS9 or Next Generation, but...
I like Enterprise way more than I like Voyager.
I haven't gotten there yet. There are some awesome characters in Voyager, though, and there's some really good episodes.
Are you talking about Chakotay?
Except,
do you love Chakotay?
Everyone loves Chakotay.
No, wait. Say his name right. Chakotay. Did he go on a vision quest? Did he go on a vision quest?
I like when he goes on a vision quest.
Oh, this is the episode where Chakotay goes on a vision quest.
He's kind of token, but it's also kind of cool. Like, I like the idea of thinking that like a Native American belief system would actually manage to exist that far in the future.
Well, there was that episode of Next Gen, late Next Gen. I think it was like probably like either season 6 or season 7, where they go to that planet that's going to be that's in like the disputed Cardassian Federation zone, and there's like a bunch of like Native Americans on that planet for some odd reason.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
they just happen to be there.
Yeah, and that's like how Chakotay becomes part of the Maquis.
Which is cool. Yeah. The issue with it is the biggest problem I have with Voyager is that the first season of Voyager, thus far, the first season of Voyager has been the worst season of Voyager.
Oh, it's awful.
That's the season that has the fucking Janeway and Tom Paris turning into lizards.
Oh,
and like that
threshold, the worworst episode of all of Trek.
That episode is so bad, unbelievably bad. It's terrible. And that episode's so bad, you would think it would be like, when the show was on its last legs, like they're really running out of ideas, like the worst episode of Next Gen, the fucking Scottish Ghost episode with Beverly Crusher. The episode's fucking awful.
Scottish Ghost episode. I forgot about that.
That's fucking awful.
Yeah, that's a Doctor Who episode, man. That's like how bad that episode is. It's like, not, I shouldn't say a Doctor Who. That's like an 80s Doctor Who episode, like,
or an 80s Quantum Leap episode.
Oh yeah, don't talk bad about Quantum Leap.
You know, I'm retarded.
What have we said about that word?
That's the line in the show.
I know. I'm joking.
I'm quoting it. So like
Dr.
that episode,
Samuel Beckett,
that
never
episode
made
is
it
in
home.
the first fucking season of Voyager.
It's
ridiculous.
And what's his face? The writer of the episode. Why can't I think of his name? Rick Berman.
No, Rick Berman didn't write. He just does.
He's a producer.
Yeah, he was like the showrunner or whatever.
Brandon Braga or someone.
Know.
Whoever wrote that episode came out.
And they apologized for it.
Yeah, they apologized. They're like, this is a terrible episode. Yeah.
The thing that sucks about that episode being bad
is the warp 10 barrier.
But that concept is cool. The concept of them breaking the warp 10 barrier because of some weird shit they found in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah.
Like, or no, wait, they're in the Gamma Quadrant. No.
No, they're in the Delta.
Delta, yeah. Gamma's Deep Space Nine. So, like, that concept's cool. It's like, oh, we found this weird technology that's allowing us to break this barrier. That idea is awesome. The fact that it turned people into lizards is the most fucking stupid, dumb shit.
I've looked a lot into, you know, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, so like the concept behind it was that evolution does not always make us superior. Sometimes evolution can make us inferior in a lot of ways, and that was like the concept behind it, was that like humanity's evolution might not necessarily be to the benefit.
Sure, yeah.
Which was, I get the concept. Poor execution.
Yeah, very bad. If that's the way you wanted it, if that's the story you wanted to tell, that's fine. How about telling it not in the worst way possible?
It's just an awful. I'm not a big fan of the warp 10 barrier too. I think the warp 10 barrier is kind of a dumb concept for the show.
I think it's just something that they're eventually going to break.
Well, it's
which
also,
they clearly do.
Yeah, which is also the problem with and I think it was the Next Gen where they do the fact that going over warp 5 is causing instability in the time space continuum. So they have to like limit everyone to fly at warp 5.
That's only in that one area of space.
No, it's all cuz they mention it a couple times later that we give you permission to break the warp 5 policy,
right,
or whatever it is.
Cuz it was in that huge, it was in a giant area where there were those pockets.
Well, yeah, but that's what they were
and
saying.
You would ignite that pocket if you like traveled past in the warp thing. But they got past that.
No, they said that's why they put the limit on in all space, because they didn't want to screw up any place else.
Right.
So that's but they eventually, and that was part of the reason why God, what is this, like, fucking weird ass? That's why Voyager had the nacelles that went up and down, is because that was able. So that's the fact that they were able to do that was the reason why they were able to go past the warp 5 barrier without causing damage to the nearby time space. Mm-hmm. So there you go, people. Trekcast.
That was because they limited it. But no, they limited it because they didn't know where else those things could be.
Yes,
right.
That was the reason.
Right,
yeah.
right. I remember now.
Yeah, so they
but I think they eventually like figured it out. Like there was they obviously circumvented it with Voyager.
Well, yeah, they did that,
and then of course we know by default that they were successful because there's the fucking Federation, the Time Federation that travels around and corrects things in the space time continuum. So obviously, we don't unmake reality.
Not to mention that the Sovereign class, next generation, a flagship of the Federation had fixed nacelles as well, so they obviously fixed that problem. Yep.
Or discovered either it was just contained in that one spot,
also
known as they figured out how to detect it.
The 1701E, the Enterprise Sovereign class.
God. That's a fucking sick name for a class of ship.
Sovereign
class, like that's badass.
I mean, you had the Constitution class, the Enterprise class, the what was Enterprise C? Enterprise C was a...
Isn't there? I'm pretty sure there's a Continental class.
No, there might be a Continental class, but it was the Constitution, the Enterprise, the Ambassador class was the C, the D was the Galaxy class, and then it was the Sovereign class.
It's a fucking sick name.
Oh, but the B. I forgot the B. The B was the Excelsior class.
Excelsior.
I love the Excelsior class. It was the Enterprise B was helmed by Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. All right, so we went way
my
over.
My Cameron go.
God, that movie's not Ferris Bueller, but
Ferris Bueller's a bad movie. I hate that movie.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
There's not much bad.
I hate
in
Matthew
it.
Broderick's punch me face.
Okay, well, if you hate Matthew Broderick, of course you're gonna hate that movie. But
that's unfortunate.
How can you hate War Games? Would you like to play a game?
Interesting game. The only way to win is not to play.
Oh, it's a metaphor for things. So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve nowhere except the Game Classy Facebook
page. That's right.
I'm
an internet ghostie.
You are. On the Game Classy Facebook page, Steve will answer all your questions, usually related to penises and butts
and anime.
He will talk to you a lot about One Punch Man.
I love One Punch Man.
I
so
figured
good.
You did we talk about One Punch Man? We probably talked about One Punch
we
Man.
We didn't actually.
Yeah, that's like the internet's like new darling.
Well, the One Punch Man manga has been around for a little while.
Yeah,
they just this year did the anime.
Yeah,
and they did apparently did a very, very good job. I haven't watched the anime yet. I've been reading the manga, so I'm like super far ahead of where the anime would be. But they apparently did a very, very, very good job of just translating the manga to the anime. Like, it's like perfect.
When
so,
are we going to get the really insanely bad live action version that they generally do of Japanese cartoons?
That's not actually a thing. The really bad live action things are usually their own thing. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying it always exists. Like they always like if there's an anime, there's always a terrible live action make.
Those old that kind of went out in the 90s. Like I think Guyver was the last one that I could think of.
I don't know.
Of.
What about the
there's the Attack on Titan movie, which is real bad.
Yeah, the Attack on Titan
movie. Which
is
such a disappointment because that's like a fucking slam dunk, easy peasy, like way to make a great movie. And I don't know, they shit the bed super hard.
Well, there was they just did the Battleship Yamato.
Battleship Yamato. Well, that was CG, I thought.
No, that was live action.
Are you sure? I thought that was CG.
Yeah. Oh, that was a live action Space Pirate Harlock.
That's CG. The Harlock CG for sure.
Okay. Well, I don't watch these, so I don't really know. Yeah. I'm just naming off anime. Wicked City.
Live action Wicked City would be sweet.
Yeah. It'd be really terrifying. Like, oh my God, her vagina's a spider. what's the other one? Is there a live action Blue Girl?
La Blue Girl?
Yes.
Actually, there's a lot of live action hentai translations, so there probably is a live action La Blue Girl.
I'm trying to think back of like the anime section of my video store back in the 80s.
And all you could think of is porn?
Yeah. Did they ever do a live action version of Nausicaa?
To my knowledge, there's never been a live action of any Ghibli movie.
Okay. No, that's true. That was a movie. I read the manga before I actually saw that movie, and I was like, oh, this movie's not really that great.
The movie's okay. Yeah. As far as I know, there's going to be a live action Akira at some point, but
Akira!
It's going to be Hollywood. So
Hollywood,
we'll see.
You watch BoJack Horseman?
I have not. I've heard mixed reviews.
I think you'd like it, but the anyway, back to what I was saying. Got cut off there.
Tangent cast.
Go to our YouTube page, Game Classy YouTube, where you can listen to us on the YouTube and like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. That's probably the best way that you're going to help us out. And also you could go to our Game Classy Reddit, our Game Classy, where we also post some stuffs if it's interesting. It's been a bad couple months for gaming stuff. There hasn't been a ton of
actually a gigantic news in the gaming industry, but it's not relevant to people playing the games. So
what was this?
Asmodee, as you know, like they bought merged with Fantasy Flight.
Yeah.
They're having a new policy thing. It's going to prevent the sales of their games online through third-party websites.
Oh, shit, son.
No more, like, super cheap X-Wing stuff on Amazon.
Oh, shit, son.
Yeah.
Well, that X-Wing shit is so overpriced right now anyway.
Yeah, well, like, any, like,
you didn't bring this up earlier. This is actually kind of relevant to most players.
I mean, I mean,
if you can't get your shit cheap on Amazon, like Fantasy Flight has generally been known for the fact that you could get their stuff relatively
cheap. Yeah, that's not happening
cheap.
Anymore.
Cheap,
yeah. Yeah, so that means Days of Wonder, anything by Asmodee, this is like 33% or more of the board games market.
Yeah, wow. This might be a little detrimental to the board game market.
Not really. It's the only people it's really going to cripple are people who are dumpers. So
dumpers, and it's also gonna hurt hoarders too. People who buy a shit ton of board games. Yeah.
So like people who they're trying to incentivize stores to carry board games, because like if I'm a store owner, if you're not willing to offer a big discount on your board games are just sitting on your shelf forever. And the reason you have to order the big discount on your board games is because Amazon exists, and the discounts on Amazon are high.
Yeah,
like 30% or more. Or, they're selling it close to cost. So by barring people from being able to do that, you're going to incentivize stores that aren't carrying board games to try some board games. I can actually sell this game for $40 instead of I can make profit on this game. I'll dedicate the shelf space to it. Because that's a lot of things that people don't understand when they're buying like cheap games and stuff, like, which is sweet. Like, it's awesome getting a cool deal. But the problem is with stores wanting to carry games is there's the profit versus storefront, how much real estate is this product taking up. If you look at Magic singles, Magic singles are extremely profitable.
Yeah,
they also take up a tiny amount of space because they just need to be in a case line of cards, and you can have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of cards in the amount of space that maybe 10 titles of board games can
have
fit.
You ever been to a strict board game store?
I have never been to a store that doesn't carry Magic cards. It only carries board. The closest would be Games Plus.
Well, I mean, most places carry...
Games Plus does no Magic singles. So Games Plus is the closest I've been to a board game store, but they have all the miniatures,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the mini... I always think of Games Plus as more of a mini store.
Well, I mean, they also carry all the board games.
Yeah, they carry a ton of board games, and they carry all that stuff. But I'm talking like one of those places, like a newer place that's like, oh, we're like a board game cafe, that sort of thing. A lot of them are pretty miserable. Yeah. I always say, when I talk about game stores, is like I'm always about the Games Workshop method of running a game store. That's the method me and you were trained on. We know how to sell games, and you do that by demoing, demo. Get it out there that you're doing a demo of this game at this time. You make little flyers that you hand out. Say, hey, fuckhead, we're doing a demo of Dixit. Come here on this day and learn how to play Dixit. It's a super popular game. You're going to come here. You're going to learn how to play. I'm going to run demos all day long on it.
What you got to tap in. That's the thing is a lot of people man their stores by themselves.
Yeah.
So you got to tap into your community and get your paragon to run your fucking games for you.
Well, not even. No, you don't even want it. You want to learn how to do that yourself.
But the time, that's the thing. If you're running a game store and you're by yourself, there's no way you can dedicate the time for demos. It just doesn't work.
Well, I mean,
no one's manning the register. No one's answering questions about singles. Cards.
No one's going to be there manning singles.
Have you ever been to a card shop?
Many
You should go to a one man card shop someday.
I know, I've been. I'm just joking. Yeah. But I am not joking that I you need to be running demos constantly.
The best would be to set up, like, if you have an employee or a part timer, you have someone to jockey the register while you're running the demo. That's ideal.
That's the ideal. Yeah. Well, oh God, and the you always end up with that one guy that you're like, who's like, the guy's like, I'll run the demos for you. And like, I don't want you to talk to anybody that comes to this store.
The guys who volunteer almost always are that guy.
Yeah. Like, I don't want you.
I wish I could ban you from my store, but you haven't done anything illegal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, or you haven't done enough that, or you spend just enough where you're profitable to be here.
Not much for a board game demo, but it'll do.
All right. So, Steve on. Oh, shit. Am I still? I'm still going. Okay. Sorry. My headphones went out.
Oh, my God.
So, Steve, until next time.
Just remember, Star Wars will only always be more popular than Star Trek because Star Trek asks you to think.
Game Classy.